of this series we've been tracking through at the beginning of this year, this Walking by Faith series, talking about looking at the book of Genesis, the life of Abraham, how it affects not just us and knowledge about what the Bible has to say about Abraham's life a long, long, long time ago, but how the lessons of Abraham's life can become lessons for us as we also seek to walk by faith. Today we'll be looking at this very dramatic story. It's near the end of Abraham's life that this event takes place. It is probably the most notable, maybe the most famous story that comes from the Abraham story. When he is asked to offer up his son, his only son, at least the son of the promise, and offer him as a sacrifice to God. It's an incredible ask. It's one that sometimes it goes over our heads because we can't imagine anything so dramatic or so difficult that could be asked or required of us. And yet, as we look at the text today and begin to say, what does it mean for us? How does this help us in our understanding of what it means for us to walk by faith? I think there are some significant things that we can all begin to take away. So let me jump in right at the beginning of chapter 22, verse 1, where it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham, Abraham. And Abram said, here I am. You know, this is going to be our first point of the day, that when it comes to hearing and walking by faith, being able to hear God's voice and be then to be responding to God is the first part of this challenge we have. Sometimes listening is hard. Abraham's going to be able to listen to the voice of God. Even though he is very old, he's learned how to discern that voice. Maybe God will speak to us in a discernible voice. Maybe God's going to just use the ability to nudge us and prod us. It starts with God speaking and Abraham listening. One of the challenges that we often have is we don't listen well. Yeah, we don't. We don't always listen well, do we? We go busy in our life. We rush through. We get all the priorities that we have that we think we need. And we tend not to pause, not to listen. Listening is hard. I almost don't want to say this because I don't want me making light of things, but listening is hard. My wife tells me I've got two major faults. Major. Really major. First one is I don't listen. And the other is something else. I don't know. No, she doesn't say that. She just says, I don't listen. But that's okay. No, but we have, a lot of us have a hard time listening. And we see as the story begins to unfold, what's going to be asked of Abraham is incredible. But if he's not listening, he's not going to hear it. And if he's not going to hear it, he's not going to be able to respond. And if he doesn't respond, then he's not going to receive the blessing that God has for him in the midst of the story. We need to hear this story in the context of this is what it's about. It's not about taking something away from Abraham. This is a story that is going to talk about how it is that God delivers something to Abraham. But it can only happen if at the beginning Abraham is listening to what God has to say. And then second, if he's willing to be obedient to what God has to say. And again, oftentimes we think obedience is a bad word. It's one of those words we talk about that God's trying to force us to do something that maybe we don't want to do, but that he wants us to do it. And we have this kind of this defiant teenager attitude in our walk with God. But it's not so that God gets something from us that he asks us for obedience. It's that he can then use that as the venue through which he is going to flow his blessing to us. And if we don't take that step of listening and then the second step of obedience, we will never know what the outcome of that blessing is intended to be. You see, we get it screwed up. We get it all wrapped up in thinking that we know best and that our will and what we want is what needs to happen. But this story of Abraham, and again, hear it through this context. Again, not this ogre-like God or this divine person who is prodding and pushing on Abraham, but he is leading Abraham to a place of being able to hear and respond to his goodness that he wouldn't have otherwise. So let's go ahead and walk through the text. Text is here. So here I am, Abraham replies. And then God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Wow. Okay. Let's all say right now, just a real quiet, thank you, Jesus. That's not something he's ever going to ask you to do. This is an ask that appears to be too much, too big, too great, too far. We even begin to wonder. We get stuck here, don't we? We wonder, what kind of God is this in the story? What's he even doing asking Abram to do this? What's going on? How can Abram say yes to this? How can Abram do anything but walk away from a God who would ask this of him? And rightly so, we would all justify, if this is where the story ended and it goes like this, then Abraham walked away from God, we would say, we get it. I wouldn't have done that. That would be too much. But that's not the point of the story. And when we do get sidetracked and stuck there, we're missing out what God has for us that helps us in our walk of faith. You see, there are two problems here for Abraham as he runs up against this. One, of course, the obvious one, is that this is, he's talking about a human sacrifice. And while animal sacrifice and even human sacrifice in this day was rather common practice, human sacrifice is something that God had said not to do. It is just, it goes against his laws. It goes against his person. It goes against his character. The fact that we are all created in the image of God is the foundation for seeing how God would be responding to us, that our lives are precious and that a human sacrifice would be abhorrent to God. You look and you read through the laws in Leviticus 18, you're going to see that he spells it out, that that's something that he doesn't want to ever see and ever have to deal with. But even if we hadn't had those specific laws, we would know that it goes against the very heart of God. But the second part, and this is the one we catch, right? This is the one we know, that this is going into something so deep. This is his child, and we know how we love our children. But even beyond this being his child, we recognize that this child represents something even bigger than just the love of a father for his son. This is a child which represents the whole promise of God. This whole story of Abram we've been walking through these last couple of months, as we've been looking at Abram, we've been seeing what he has been up to, is always been believing in this promise, sometimes better, sometimes worse. Sometimes we believe it a little more firmly, sometimes we're a little shaky on it, but that God is going to deliver this promise. And the promise is going to be about descendants, and descendants who are going to not only inhabit this particular land, but are also going to be a blessing, and through them a blessing will come to all the world. We recognize that today. Hear that promise. We know that is about Jesus coming, that God is laying the foundation for Jesus coming, that we might too have faith and hope. And it's going to only come through Abraham's descendants. And if Abram sacrifices this descendant, his only son, how can God's promise become true? So not only is it his son that's on the line, but it's his faith. And not only his faith, but it's been his whole life that he has built on. Abram's over 100 years by this point, and all of his life has been pursuing this one goal, to finally have that heir who could become the descendant and believe that God's promises are true. And God now asks him to sacrifice him. There's a lot riding on this. That's why even in the New Testament, this story comes up over and over again. Go to the Hebrews chapter 11, talking about all these titans of faith in the past. And we see here that this is exactly where the author of Hebrews goes. By faith, Abraham, when tested by God, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. So I'm foreshadowing. If you don't know the story, he's going to offer him. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abram reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. In a matter of speaking. What Hebrews is trying to tell us is that Abram believes something that we have now come to know. This idea of nothing is impossible with God, that becomes a New Testament idea. But Abraham was already believing in that, this God who could do even the impossible, even what we don't understand fully, if we can somehow trust him and learn to walk by faith, we will see God do things that we can't even imagine. The rest of the story, if you don't know the story, I'm going to try to rush through a few verses here in chapter 22. So Abram does what God asked him to do. He gets up early, he loads up his donkey, he gets his son, he takes some servants, he gets the wood and all the stuff he's going to need for a sacrifice, and off they go. And after 3 days of journey, they wind up at the mountain that God shows him. He tells the servants to stay behind. He takes Isaac up on the hill. Isaac says, "Hey, we got everything we need here, God. We got the fire, got the wood, but I don't see the lamb. What's going on?" And he says, "Don't worry, God's going to take care of it." They wind up on the mountain. They set up the altar. Isaac's still not sure what's going on. And all of a sudden, Dad's tying him up. And he puts him on the altar. And it says he took his knife and he was about ready to slay his son. Oof. Then here, the angel of the Lord called to Abram from heaven. He says, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am." "Yeah, I've been waiting for your call. Not a moment too soon." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him, now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now, again, hear this phrase. That's what was asked of him. "This son that you love, your only son." You know, does that not sound a little bit like even like God's voice speaking in Matthew when Jesus is baptized? What does he say? "This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." You know, when we hear things like John 3:16, and we hear this, that for God so, what, loved the world that he, what, gave, what, his one and only son. We see all this stuff beginning to kind of weave through, as if the writers of the New Testament were catching on to this, or if God just continues to work this way, that he is foreshadowing a little bit of what the heart of God is really like. So lest we get stuck back in verse 2 that God is somehow cruel, we want to get all this flavor that God is really very incredibly gracious, because this is how God's heart is for us. Okay, let me go on. Let me push on, because we have to see exactly how this is going to play out. This is way too important here. "So do not lay a hand on the boy." So Abraham then looked up there, and in the thicket he saw a ram caught by the horns. And he went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called the place, "The Lord will provide." This is a beautiful phrase right here. This becomes not just that place, but he actually makes up a name that now God will be called by. It Yahweh Yireh is how you would, my Hebrew is not very good. Sorry, Scott, but it's not very good. But that would be kind of how it sounds. Yahweh Yireh in Hebrew, which means "the Lord will provide." And on that mountain, Abram had to see that though it seemed impossible at the front end of the story, at the back end of the story, we see something that we could have never seen if Abram had not listened. And if Abram had not been willing to obey, that the very character and nature of God is put on display in a way that we would never imagine, only seen through the eyes of faith. Now, so how does that apply to us? I want to come back to this idea of how does that apply to us, because this is the key. It is key for us. And so walking by faith, first thing has to happen that we see from the story is that we need to be able to listen for the voice of God. This is critical for us. If we're going to walk by faith, this becomes key number one. Because if we don't listen for the voice of God, we will always go to our default mode. And our default mode is doing things our way. Now, we may walk through this life and we may have given our life to Christ. We may say that we're a Christian, and we are, that he is our Savior. We put our trust in him. But if we only do our own way, we're not really living the life and walking by faith. We are walking by sight. We're walking by my will, but we're not walking by faith. Second thing we need to do is not only be able to hear the voice of God and follow his urging. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't speak with an audible voice, but comes and nudges us, opens doors, and reveals to us, this is the path we should walk. We need to recognize that, folks, and be able to walk that way. And when we see that door open, when we feel that nudge, we need to be able to respond. Now, the reason we don't respond to this, even if we're listening sometimes, is because we think the ask is too much. Abram, we would justify Abram for not doing what God asked him to do, but he did it. If sometimes we get that nudge, have you gotten that nudge where you think you should do something? Maybe there's someone you want to respond to. Maybe there's a situation you want to help fix. Maybe there's a situation that it would require something of you to engage and step into. And we hesitate. We pull back. Why? Because we don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to maybe get caught up in that. We don't want to, you know, give too much because maybe I won't get anything back. And we need to recognize that when God calls us into something, it is walking by faith if we say, yes, I will step in. There is something really big here, this idea of walking with obedience, because it is only by obedience, that we're going to discover that God is the one who provides. If we walk simply in our own will, in our own way, we will never see God provide in the way that he wants to provide. Only in this way can we begin to open up that door. And finally, the story of Abram concludes with this idea that God now blesses Abraham. And so that becomes our final piece. The final piece is that there is going to be a blessing for walking in obedience if we are willing to make that step. You know, what is it? You know, God may be urging you, maybe even nudging you right now. There may be a thing going on with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives within you. You've accepted Jesus and he's inside of you. And this invitation for you is to now move into a place of walking by faith. Maybe it's a life pattern that doesn't line up with what you know God wants for you. Maybe there's something that you know you're doing that it's comfortable, and so I'm going to stay in this place, but you're feeling a nudge saying, God is not, that's not God's best for me. Follow that nudge. Follow that nudge. It may be hard, it may be uncomfortable, but it's going to lead to blessing. Hear that. It's going to lead to blessing. Maybe it's a priority of your time. Maybe you don't take time to connect. Maybe you're always in a rush. Maybe your life is too full. There's no time to grow. Maybe there's no time to give. Maybe there's no time to serve. Maybe there's no time to fellowship because we're always so rushed and we're always so busy. Or maybe we have these barriers up, these walls that we've erected to keep ourselves safe and to keep people out. Keep people out so they don't really know us. Keep people out so I don't really require anything of us. If God is inviting you out, take that invitation. Because if we don't, we stay stuck in our ways and we miss out on the blessing. This is not God requiring something of us that is going to make our life worse. This is God opening the door so that blessing can flow into our lives. Maybe it has to do with our finances. You know, we talked about the faith promise and all of that, but I'm talking about our finances, just our day-to-day stuff. Does God get our first, or does God get the leftovers? Do we say, I trust God, but I'm going to make sure and get all my bills taken care of by my way and by my labor first? Yes, okay, fine. Nothing wrong with being responsible. But when it comes to God inviting us to trust him with all of it, offer to him a part of it, and we say, no, that's too much. Thank you, Jesus. I'll take all of it back for myself. We're not taking anything away from God. God doesn't need our money. But what we are taking back is the opportunity for God to give us the blessing of trusting and walking by faith. So what is God leading us to? I don't know. What is God leading you to? I don't know. And maybe it seems difficult. Maybe it seems too difficult to ask. But if it seems too difficult to ask, think of this. God asked Abraham to give up his only son. Is what you're feeling God nudging you to do bigger than that? I doubt it. And if it is, this is still true. That is only by obedience that we will begin to see what God really has in mind for us. And walking by faith means we are willing to walk in a way that leads to us coming to that, to allow God to have his way and to bless in ways that he wouldn't otherwise be able to because we have blocked it off and kept our routine and our patterns. He's inviting us to a risky faith for all of us who are risk avoidant, and that's almost every one of us when it comes to our comfort. He is inviting us to risk on his faithfulness. I want to invite our team to come up. I want to pray over us as they do. Father, we give you this morning, and I thank you for your word. God, even as we, again, surrounded by chaos in the world, even by distractions in and around us in the sanctuary this morning, God, that your word still reigns supreme, and your invitation to us to find you, to trust you, to listen to you, to be obedient to you, so that you can open up the gates that would bring blessing to us. Father, we thank you. Help us to have the strength and the courage to follow and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.